beautiful thing. And when I met Julia, there was this bond in Christ. And I was able to go to Haiti last year and preach at his church that he launched, RVC, which is Rendezvous Christ Church. And actually, it's a beautiful thing because it was born out of Haiti Teen Challenge. And Haiti Teen Challenge is doing some great work. So he serves as both the executive director of Haiti Teen Challenge, but also as the lead pastor of Rendezvous Christ Church. And so we are grateful to have you here.
Thank you.
Let's pray for Pastor Julio as he gives us the word today. Lord, we thank you for Pastor Julio and his gifts and talents. As he unpacks the scripture for us, I pray that you would open the scriptures to us, let them sink into our soul, and make us look more like you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. It's always good to be here. And at Shepherd, this is a church that we, at the Haiti Teen Challenge, we really, really love. You guys have been such a blessing to us and, with your prayers, your generosity, and I don't know if you're aware of that, a good portion of our leadership, actually board members, are from here, from Shepherd. So you guys are very dear to us, so we love you. But also, I think loving Shepherd is a smart move, because any church that is, you know, fully dependent on the Word of God, you have to love that church. Shepherds so believe in the Bible. I don't know if you noticed that. Even in the setup of your leadership team, before Jeremy, you had Stephen. Stephen was your pastor, so you know that name's in the Bible. Jeremy is one of the prophets in the Bible. And I believe you have a Sam. You know, it's in the Bible. And Christian is somewhere in the Bible as well. And I think you might have an angel coming soon. I love Shepherd. It's a great family. I know it's been 6 weeks you've been dealing with this series, this idea of living the good and beautiful life, which we all desire that. We want to have a good and beautiful life. I want that, and I hope it's the same for you. And Jesus understood that we all need that. And in the process of sharing with you about, you know, how you can live this good and beautiful life, and Jesus been, you know, communicated a few things in Sermon on the Mount, which many preachers spoke on for the last 6 weeks. And today they asked me to communicate on how we can learning to live without vainglory or pride. We know that one thing is pride. He's often in a hidden sin, and that it's normally creates separation between us and God. It's something that to show someone that you are better than them, and as a result, we want to be the center of attention. We want people to see us certain ways, and because of that, so society it's putting us in a position where we are fighting between how God sees us and how society sees us. Pride is not cute. As a matter of fact, God loves you. He really loves you. He's madly in love with you. But at the same time, God hates pride. And one thing that we learn in the Bible is the pride idea is, you know, there's some good pride. But for example, some of you are grandparents and some of you are parents. I'm sure you're pride, you know, very proud of your children, of your grandchildren. I am a father. I'm proud of my 4 children, and I'm really proud of them. I love them. 3 of my 4 children, I think they are smart. I'm not saying that the 4th one is not smart. I'm just saying that she, you know, the 4th one's a bit slow. And the 3, you know, when they come to, you know, their smartness, they act just like their mother, but the 4th one is just like me. And so we don't like to pay attention. But I'm proud of all 4 of them. And 3 of them are also very good. And when it comes to, they love sports, and they're good on that. One is, you know, she doesn't care about sport, but I still happen to very, you know, I'm proud that I'm their dad. Because for me, those 4 children, they are a gift from God, you know, to me. And because they're a gift from God to me, so I'm proud of them. And so you can be prideful about, you know, certain things. Like Apostle Paul was very proud about the Corinth church, because he shared the gospel and he saw that there was growing in the local church. And the Bible said that Paul was so proud of the church. He said that I take great pride in you. I am greatly encouraged in all of our troubles. My joy knows no bounds, because Paul understands that God was doing some great work among the church in Corinth. So he was so excited. So you can be prideful about things that God is doing in our midst. But the same way there's a pride that can bring us closer to God, the fact that he gave us children, so we are grateful to him. We understand that he's the one who gave us children. But there's a second one that actually it's take us away from God. We call it the pride of life. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, the Bible said that the pride of life comes not from the Father, your creator, the person who creates you, but instead it's from the world. And so John understands that there's a pride that you and I, we have it as a hidden sin in our hearts and somewhere in our lives. And that is it's not from God, but it's a gift of the world. And as you know, the world will always put in a position where to separate us from God. Jesus knew that, and he took time and he taught the disciples about that idea of it's possible they can live a good and beautiful life. But in order for them to live a good and beautiful life, there are certain things that they have to deal with. And one of the things was pride. The religious leaders during the time of Jesus, they were using things that we do as believers. As believers, we pray. As believers, we worship. As believers, we give. As believers, we fast. And there were religious leaders at that time. They were doing those three things, fasting, praying, and giving. But unfortunately, they were doing it not to so they could have the good and beautiful life that Christ wants for them. But they were doing it so they could have the life that the society, the world needs for them. And Jesus had to deal with that. And he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, Jesus said, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness or your good deeds in front of others to be seen by them." Now, Jesus doesn't say that don't do good things in front of people because, you know, when your pastor came here and prayed, I think that was a good thing. Imagine Jeremy's praying here and then he asks you to bow your head. And then when he starts praying, if you open your eyes and then he stopped. It's not what Jesus is asking us to do. I think the worship team did an excellent job, and we experienced them doing those things. Some of you have been to mission trips. Some of you have given for ministry. I am on social media here. I'm sure social media, I know that you are a giving church. It's not, Jesus doesn't say that to not do those things so people could, for people not to be aware of the good you are doing. But he said that if you're doing them, you have to do in a certain way. And he said, if you do it just for people to see, you will have your reward. You have no reward from the Father in heaven. And I hope that you only serve. I hope that you only give. I hope that you pray. I hope that you fast because you want your relationship to the Father to be intact. So, because prior to this message, Jesus communicated with the disciples. He said, you know what? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he said, well, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Unfortunately, those religious leaders, when they prayed, they were not praying so the people can see the glory of God. When they fast, it was not about the glory of God. When they give, it was not about the glory of God. It was all about them. So Jesus did not say that to not do good things and for the people, but he said that when you do those things, you have to do them for the sake of God's glory. So all the people will come to know him. All the people will have a better knowledge of him. And Jesus knew that not for only for his disciples, but today we'll be in the same position. And so he gives some warnings to his disciples, and I think he's giving us the same warnings. And I believe there's three reasons that he gives us those warning. Yeah, he said I have an accent, so I hope that you guys figure that out by now. Yeah, and hope you have the Holy Spirit to guide you. So Jesus gave us three warnings that, and I believe if you open the Bible, throughout the Bible, you probably find thousands of warnings, especially about this particular sin. But I wanted to focus on three this morning. The reasons that that Jesus gave us a warning about pride, of prideful living, is because the first one is because that it is self-serving. It's all about self. Imagine that you live with a spouse, with children, and some of you who have teenagers, you probably have an experience of what I'm talking about, and where it's all about, you know, self-serving. And that's the spirit of the world, because the spirit of the world, is vainglory that manifests in selfishness. It's all about me. It's myself, I, or there's a way they say it in America, it's myself, me and I, or something like that. And so Jesus doesn't want us to live that way. And he said, you know what? I don't want you to live a prideful life, because it's all about you. And instead, we have to live a life, it's all about Christ himself. The second reason that he wants you and I to live a life learning to live without pride is because it is self-destructive. Pride destroys you. Pride doesn't make you bigger or stronger. Instead, it makes you smaller and weaker. Whenever that you live a life of pride around people, trust me, they probably be afraid of you, but they see you like someone who is weak. So because pride doesn't make me bigger or stronger. And instead, pride removes from you and removes things from me. Jesus wanted, you know, his disciples to have a full life, to have a blessed life. And he wants that for you as well. And he said, you know what, don't live a life of pride. The third reason that we believe that Jesus wants you and I to stay away from a life of pride is because pride set us against God. Imagine that you're in war with God, against God, and not only against him, but in his blessings. Pride, what pride does to you and I, pride creates a pathway, you know, two pathways. If God's going this way, so you go in that way. And there's no way you can have a good and beautiful life if you are going opposite of where God is going. In 1 Peter chapter 5, the Bible says that God opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So opposed, like, and here in America, I know you guys are dealing with a lot of, you know, different mindset and different ways that you see things. But in Haiti, it's a little bit, you know, really when somebody is in opposition, they are really in opposition. So it's like God is in opposition of you when you live a life of pride. It took me time to learn this lessons, and I can remember one time I was on a trip down in Haiti in 2004, and I went to preach at a church. It was a very large church in Haiti, and on my way from church, we didn't have any vehicles in the country at that time. I had a rental. And on my way from church, it was about 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. on Sunday afternoon. And there was a lady. She was probably in early 40s, but she looks really, really, really bad. And she was carrying a little girl. And I think there was a little boy walking, you know, next to her. And it was not a pretty picture. Haiti is a country in needs, but I want you to know that on Sundays, Haitians, we always look our best. And the fact that she was carrying this baby, and then there was another one walking next to her, and it was a really sad picture. So the Holy Spirit convinced me to give her a ride. And so I stopped, and she got in with those two kids, and she was wet, so I turned off the AC, and she said, thank you. And after I took off, and she said, thank you again. And she said, sir, can I tell you something? And I said, yes, please. And so I was driving, and she said, sir, you're not from here. So when she said that, you know, I, you know, just like Jeremy reminded me that I have an accent. So I thought it was because of my accent. But I was in Haiti. I was communicating with her in Creole. So I have no accent in Creole, by the way, if you don't know that. I hope you'll end up right lesson here because he has an accent in English. I don't have no accent in Creole. So when she said that, and I said, why do you say that? She said, because there's no one in this country who would be driving a car like this who would stop and give somebody like me a ride. You know, each time I think about this story, that experience, you know, it breaks my heart. Because I wish she had said that, sir, you are a believer. You are a pastor. Because I was a pastor then. I wish she had said that, sir, you are a Christ follower. But she put me in the same category that everybody else because I live in a country where the have no connection with the have not. I live in a country where the educated have no connection with non-educated. I have lived in a country where those who live downtown, they have no connection with those who live in the mountain and because of our pride. But we understand that God said that God is opposed to the, that God opposed to pride, but he gives grace to the humble. The reason that we need to understand that God doesn't want us to be against him and also to stay away from him, but his blessing is because the spirit of the world, like I said, is vainglory that manifests in selfishness, but the spirit of heaven, which is the spirit of God, is a love that manifests in humility. It's a love that manifests in humility. And in order for you to live the good life, there's one thing that we need to know. We need to know the word of God. Because I know society is telling us stuff, but God is also communicating. So we need to know the word of God, but also in the God of the word. We cannot have a good and beautiful life without we have this knowledge to know God and to know his word. Now, probably one of the questions that you probably want to ask me this morning, but it's how do we overcome the temptation of being prideful? Because it's all over social media, all over around us, in our families, in our jobs. So how do we do that? Well, one thing that I realized in our ministry with Haiti Teen Challenge, and I am so grateful for the leadership, for the board members, is because from the startup of the ministry, we knew, and they knew, the only way we'll be able to survive, to be successful, to change, you know, young men and young women from a life of gangs and prostitutions and robbery and drugs to, you know, godly leaders of integrity is through prayer. We know that. And that's exactly, I believe, it's the only way out we can overcome temptations. Because I know a lot of times we know, you know, if either you humble or you live a life of prideful, but how can you be humble? I believe that it's to prayer. And there's a man in the Bible named David. He also experienced that. He understands that there's something about a prayer that that will, you know, help him to live the good life and beautiful God wanted for him. Because David understood, and he wants us to understand the same thing, that prayer is the way out of being prideful. Because prayer means that I can't, I need you. I can't do it by myself, I need you. Whenever we don't pray, it's like we're telling God, you know what, I can figure things out by myself. But when you pray, it's like you said, God, you know what, I don't have the ability. I don't have it in me. I need you. And David understood that. David, as you know, is a guy in the Bible. Just like your pastor is a guy in the Bible. All your pastors are people in the Bible. I'm thinking about changing my name to something else, you know. So David was a strong man. In the beginning, as you know, David, you know, he killed the bear, killed the lion. So, and then he killed Goliath, and he was a popular man, and he was well known. So maybe along the way, and what God was doing in his life, and he became prideful. And David has a songwriter, has a worshiper, has a praying man. He understands only one way out, it's for him to be humble. But how can you be humble? And David understands that when you pray, you say, it's like you're telling God, you know what? I can't. without you. I need you. And the Bible explained that in Psalms 139. And David was communicating with God and telling about God, you know, as an omniscient and omnipresent, like God knows everything. He's the most powerful man. And God and David wants to have a clear understanding of himself. Because, again, pride is a hidden sin inside of us. And David wanted to for God to reveal him to David and for God to reveal David to David. Because at times we don't know ourselves. And the Bible says that in Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24, it says, search me. Take some time and search me. Don't search me because you don't know me. But search me that you can reveal myself to myself. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. It can be thoughts or it could be my concerns. What is concerning me the most? It is how people define me or how you define me. Because what pride does, pride remove us from God's identity to us, but place us under the world or society's identity for us. Because there's a way that God identified us, but there's a way society identified us. And he said, you know what? I want you to search me and know my concerns, know my thoughts. And I know some of you, you have so much concerns around the seasons, about this time of uncertainty, about, you know, elections, about the children, grandchildren, about, you know, so this, but he said, search me and know my thoughts and know my concerns and see if there be any wicked way in me. I'm sure David sensed that there was something wrong in him because I don't think anyone would pray this prayer if they didn't know that there was something not working in them. But at times, we need God himself to reveal things. So he said, but now, if you find anything that's not of you, if you find something that's not of you, lead me, please lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in your will. I believe a life that is free from pride is a life that is in the will of God. And the only way we can get it, just like David, we have to pray. Because when we pray, we say, God, you know what? I don't know myself. I can't do it, but I need you to do it with me. As I'm getting ready to leave you, one thing that in our ministry and down in Haiti we learned, I believe that my grandmother was the woman that I loved the most. I loved that woman. But along the way, you know, just like, you know, life happens, and the local church pretty much kicked her out because she was doing certain ways, and the church at that time wasn't too happy with her, and she left the local church. And after her death, I became very angry and not too excited about the local church. But God called me into ministry, so I said, I'm going to do everything different, which I still do. But in my process of doing things different, I thought that I was better than the other churches, when really the Lord saved me from the local church. And then so although along the way I learned my lessons, because as you know, life has so many curves. Life is full of curves. I wish that it was a pathway that I can see exactly where I'm going, but no, it's not like life. Along the way, I learned some lessons. Although I learned the lessons, because as you know, people of us who are in position of leadership, you know, fathers, mothers, you know, pastors, I'm sure your pastor can communicate on that very well. It's a heavy load. It's a heavy load because, you know, the demands of the people we are leading, the demands of the organization, the demands of the family, the demands of our own life, it's not that easy. We need God. So along the way that I learned that I need God, and I made the change. But unfortunately, those young men and those young women that I was serving, they started acting like me, although I felt that, you know, I passed that stage. So started to compare our church with other churches, think that, you know, we are better than this, we are better than that. But throughout the COVID, you know, God revealed himself not only to me, but to our church congregations. And our young men now, you know, graduates of Haiti Teen Challenge, our young women, they said, you know what, let's not just be a church just for us, but how can we be a church for the entire nation? So now we're using technology, we're using all the talents that God has given us as a local church, you know, as a ministry, and to invest in local churches, because we believe that the way out for Haiti is to the local churches. But in order for God to do that, He did it because we've been praying and asking him to reveal us to us. And this morning, I want to leave you with this prayer that I think it's vital as you are looking and as you're experiencing, as you're searching to live this good and beautiful life. And the first prayer is you need to pray that God will reveal the things in you or in your heart that you cannot see. Because at times we have things in our heart we cannot see. And the only person that can reveal it to us is God, and he can do it through prayer. So it can be a prayer today. God, please reveal to me the things that are in my heart that I cannot see, because you can see everything. And the second prayer, which is equal to the first, is you pray that God would guide you towards the season of calling to live the good and beautiful life. I believe that God is calling shepherds to live a good and beautiful life in this season, in all those lessons, so God can guide you, because you need his guiding in order for you to live this life. You are a great family, and God loves you, and he wants you to know that he loves you, but he wants you to live this life. But the only way we can live it is when we understand the problem exists, and sometimes we can't even understand that. We need him to reveal it to us, but also we need to pray so God will guide us. Let me pray for you this morning. Father, we worship you. We thank you. What a beautiful thing to know you. Oh, for those of you who experience you, there's nothing else we'd rather do to be in your presence. We know at times it's easier said than done, but just like David, we pray that this morning you will reveal you to us, but you also reveal us to us. And Father, I know if you reveal us to us, we'll find things in us that is not right. But there's one thing you can do. You can also guide us, and so we can be in the place that you want us to be. As a local church, as your children, we want to live this good and beautiful life. But the only reason that we desire this good and beautiful life is because this is what you want for us. We love you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, church, would you...